You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning. Welcome to Catholic Community Faith on Catholic Schools Today. I'm Father Greg Zachowitz, pastor of St. Mary of the Woods Catholic Church on Chicago's Northwest Side on this beautiful Monday morning. And spring is on the way. And co-hosting, again back by popular demand, Graziano Marcheschi, the Director of Lay Ministry Formation for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Good morning, Graz.
Good morning, Greg.
That's a nice tie you have.
I thought the listeners would enjoy it.
I didn't realize those ties were coming back. That's not.
You say that every time.
No, it's a very sharp-looking tie for all the listeners.
Look, I'm still trying to recover from that 1 hour of lost sleep. You know, this was the best I could do.
That was interesting. A couple of people walked into church yesterday. We had just finished with the 9 o'clock Mass, and two different families walked in at, of course, now it's 10 o'clock, and they're saying, geez, what time is it? I said, it's now 10 o'clock. They thought it was 9 o'clock, coming right on time for Mass, and they're walking in as everybody else is walking out.
My daughter and son-in-law did the same thing, and when they got there, they thought they were on time because they saw the priest and all the other ministers facing the altar. And then they turned and started walking out. They're like, why are they leaving?
A very, very fast Mass. We are here today on Relevant Radio, 950 AM, 312-751-1979, 312-751-1979 on Catholic Schools Today. Tremendous program lined up. For the first 40 minutes, we're dealing with the Golden Apple Award finalist, a discussion with three Archdiocese of Chicago Catholic School Golden Apple Award finalists. The Golden Apple Foundation announced 31 Chicago area finalists for the 2008 Golden Apple Awards for Excellence in Teaching in grades 4 through 8. A total of 850 teachers from Cook, DuPage, Kane, Lake, and Will counties were nominated for the award, which was started in 1986. 10 Golden Apple Award winners selected from the final 30 finalists will be announced in mid-April. And we are very honored today to have with us in studio three of the 31 announced Chicago area finalists. We have with us in studio Kate Noonan, teacher, St. Malachy School here in Chicago. Good morning, Kate. Welcome to Catholic Schools Today.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Okay, oh, very thanks for being here. And also we have Veronica Royalis, teacher, the Academy of St. Benedict, the African School in Chicago, the Laughlin campus. Good morning, Veronica.
Good morning, and I'd like to say hi to all the students and teachers at St. Benedict, especially the class of 2008.
Okay, very good, Veronica. And last we have Heather Kelsey, teacher, St. Gall School in Chicago. Good morning, Heather.
Good morning.
And Heather teaches grades 6 through 8 English, and Kate, 6 through 8 Science, and Veronica, grade 6, 7th, and 8th, math and science. First of all, to be part of the final 31 finalists of the Golden Award Apple, or Golden Apple Award in Chicago, this is an extremely prestigious award.
850 nominees.
Yeah, 850, which is a lot of people to begin with, and now down to 31, which will be then down to the final 10 winners to be announced in mid-April. Well, first of all, you know, I look at you, Kate and Veronica and Heather, you know, young, filled with enthusiasm and life. Give us a little bit about your background, because as we talked off the air, I assumed all three of you born and raised in Chicago. None of you born and raised in Chicago. Kate, your background.
Well, I was born in Washington, D.C. area. And I attended grammar school and high school in D.C. and then went to Boston College to study biology. And so I graduated from B.C. in 2004. And then sort of became, while I was in college, really interested in service. And I really felt called to want to volunteer and to see how I could sort of give back and, you know, sort of use my education and all of the positive experiences that I've had to affect the lives of others, especially people who didn't have the same kind of opportunities that I had growing up, especially in terms of education. So I joined this organization called Inner City Teaching Corps, which is out of Chicago, that recruits talented recent college graduates to come to Chicago to teach in the inner city in Catholic schools. And through ICTC, I was placed at St. Malachy School. That was my original volunteer placement, and I've been teaching there ever since. And it's just been an incredible journey. But it's a job that has a lot of rewards, and I just became sort of enveloped in the spirit of that school.
So, how long have you been over at St. Malachy's now?
This is my fourth year.
Your fourth year. And Veronica, your background?
Mm-hmm. I'm originally from the Bay Area, San Jose, California. I attended elementary, high school, and college there. I graduated from Santa Clara University in 1998. And like Kate, joined the Inner City Teaching Corps after graduation, was also compelled by service and education, and then was placed at the Academy of St. Benedict. And I taught second and fifth grade there for 5 years. I left, and in that time, I left for about 2 years. And in that time, I was professionally developing teachers, first and second year teachers, through another organization called Teach for America. And then just really missed being in the classroom. So I came back and was lucky enough to get a placement back at the school that I had started at. So I'm currently teaching students now in eighth grade who were my second graders. So.
Well, that is wonderful. And Heather, your background?
I was born and raised in San Diego, California. I went to elementary and high school there. And
so
then,
wait, time out. You ended up from San Diego
it's cold here.
To Chicago.
Yes. Yes, I get the question a lot.
Well, no, Grazie, you were born in Italy. Yeah.
They're helping to work off all of our time in purgatory by making these great sacrifices.
I can see going from Chicago to San Diego, but
it's hard
San Diego
coming
to
the
Chicago.
Other way.
So keep going with your story, Heather.
I went to Loyola Marymount University, graduated in 2001, and with Kate and Veronica came out to Chicago to volunteer with Inner City Teaching Corps.
That is tremendous. So that, with all that you could have done with your lives to be teaching and then now in the inner city. We're going to go a break here a little bit early, so we'll come back here on Relevant Radio, 950 AM, numbers 312-751-1979. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz, along with Grazia Marcheschi, and a room full cast in the studio here for the Catholic Apple Award finalist. And again, we'll be back after a break. The time is 9:07.
Celebrate our Catholic faith in the land down under. Pope Benedict XVI is calling young people from around the world to join him in July 2008 for World Youth Day in Sydney, Australia.
This vibrant celebration features popular Catholic musicians, catechesis by our bishops, including our own Cardinal Francis George, and an overnight vigil mass with the Pope.
Call the Office for Catechesis and Youth Ministry for details on this once-in-a-lifetime spiritual journey.
The number is 773-388-8674. That number again, 773-388-8674. Join 1 million young Catholics in this global expression of Catholic faith.
Hope to see you in Sydney next July.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. Cardinal George says, "It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection." There are 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries willing to help you during times of loss. Call 708-449-6100 for assistance. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Welcome back to the Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio, AM 950 in Chicago. You're listening to the voice of the Catholic Archdiocese of Chicago. And we have an exciting program today because we're talking to three young women who have given their lives, at least so far, to serving this great archdiocese by teaching its youngest members. Catherine, a moment ago, you mentioned that while you were in college, you became interested in service. Talk a little bit about that. How did you get interested? What were you thinking when that concept of service entered your mind?
Well, BC, of course, is a Jesuit college, and the Jesuits have a really compelling sort of mission of, you know, educating the whole person, and in doing that, this sort of call to want to give back to those who are less fortunate. And so while I was in college, there were a lot of different opportunities that I took advantage of that involved working with underserved communities, both in the city of Boston, and then we traveled to different Appalachian regions of the country and did like a Habitat for Humanity type work. I also traveled to Belize and to Punta Gorda, Belize, and also Belize City for a month, and then worked in schools in Belize. And all through those service opportunities, there was this whole component of reflection and really thinking about, you know, how can I use my gifts to improve the lives of others, and sort of how can I sort of turn this call to service into a career.
That's wonderful. You know, it strikes me, excuse me for saying this, it's half facetious, but, you know, 50 years ago, the three of you probably would have entered a religious order. You know, with the kind of commitment to service, that was the way that young women typically gave service. But today, obviously, we have many different opportunities.
You know, Graz, it's interesting to say that because something that Kate said, she said this twice, you know, giving back. And the thought that hits me is when I was a senior in high school at Notre Dame, heard a line that really transformed my life. And the line goes like this: our being here on earth is God's gift to us. What I do with my life is my gift back to God. And that had a profound effect on my life. Our being here on earth is God's gift to us. What I do with my life is my gift back to God. So just in Kate's response, but also listening to Veronica and Heather, it's that sense of giving back. Veronica?
I just wanted to add on to what Kate said, because like Kate, through college and even high school, I did various types of service work. And honestly, when I joined the Inner City Teaching Corps, I thought I was coming to Chicago for 2 years and that I was going to make a difference. And yes, I think that that's the first part. But I think the reason why you see us still here teaching is because in that service, the second part of service is what you get back. And I just feel like I have been so blessed, because I realized it was me making a difference, 10% of it, but 90% of it was what I got back.
Veronica, what are you getting back?
An insurmountable amount of love, respect, trust in a community that, like, to me, here I am, an outsider, young kid, straight out of college, going in to teach your children, and, you know, I received so much back from my community and my students and my administration.
You know, Heather, you attended a Catholic university. What was there in your environment that helped spark this interest in serving in the inner city of Chicago?
I also was involved in service in college. My junior year, I joined a service organization called Sursum Corda at Loyola Marymount. And one of the service opportunities that I took advantage of was going to Juvenile Hall in Central LA and talking to some of the girls that were there. It was only like an hour every week. On Sundays, we went to Mass with them.
It was called Juvenile?
Juvenile Hall.
Okay.
In Central
LA. So specifically,
LA.
Say more about what Juvenile Hall was about.
Oh, you know, kids in jail.
Mm-hmm.
So
you would spend time with those young girls in jail.
We had an hour to just kind of talk to them, hear their story. And I started thinking, maybe it would be nice for me to talk to them before they got here. So that's kind of what led me to thinking about education. I started off as a film major.
Oh, that's interesting. Wow.
So I changed a little bit.
So which means those young women in jail had a profound effect on your life.
Definitely.
Actually changed the course and direction of where you want to take your life.
Definitely.
Tell us a little bit about ICTC, the Inner City Teaching Corps. I have to admit ignorance. This is the first time hearing about it.
And what, Graz? I have never heard that before either.
Yeah,
I've heard the one from you mentioned
Notre Dame. ACE,
that's
the ACE
exactly.
Program.
I've heard that one, but not Inner City Teaching.
And
Corps.
I know Loyola University also sponsors something to recruit Catholic teachers, but this is a third effort. I like to pride myself on knowing most of what's going on in the diocese. So, tell us how it works. Do you live in community? If you did, what was that community experience like for you?
Well, the Inner City Teaching Corps organization is a it's an independent organization. It's a not-for-profit that basically operates under the mission that it takes recent college grads or young professionals, puts them into inner city schools, Catholic schools, and then recently now public schools, but with the, you know, supporting them in their efforts to teach. So then you work also like in a partnership with Northwestern University. For the first year, you take classes in addition to teaching, you get certified, and then you can opt to continue your professional development by pursuing a master's degree from Northwestern as well.
So this is not specifically sponsored by the Archdiocese of Chicago?
No, but we work primarily in the Archdiocese and
yeah,
schools.
Yeah, so why were they interested in attracting teachers, at least initially, for Catholic schools?
Well, I think that the Catholic schools, they, you know, many of them, especially located in poor neighborhoods, like the neighborhoods in which we teach, they have a very strong need for teachers, especially, you know, people who are really energetic, want to continue to, you know, get professionally developed and really put a lot of energy into bringing new ideas and sort of vitality into the schools. And these are just tremendous places to work.
So could you have been placed in a Chicago public school inner city, or is it really just geared toward the Catholic schools? Veronica?
Towards the Catholic schools. And one essential component of the inner city teaching program, I do want to get back to what you were talking about, community, because I do have a couple of things to say about that. But another component is this idea of faith-based living. So there are reflections within your community and talking about how your faith helps you to get do this work.
And again, just for our listeners, again, we have the Inner City Teaching Corps. Also, we have a program called ACE, the Alliance for Catholic Education at the University of Notre Dame, and LU, Choice at Loyola. So this is not just the Inner City Teaching Corps, is not the only one. So I just find it, you know, fascinating. And I think we're going to go to a break here. Gratz, why don't you bring us out of this one?
All right, you're listening to the Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio AM 950. We're talking about Catholic education and Golden Apple Award nominees. We'll be right back to continue our conversation. Don't go away.
Men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298 or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
Welcome back to the Catholic Community of Faith. I'm Graziano Marcheschi, Director of Lay Ministry Formation, co-hosting with Father Greg Sakowicz, and we are talking to three vibrant young women who are teaching in our Chicago Catholic schools and who have been nominated for one of the most prestigious awards, the Golden Apple Award. The finalists will be honored on Saturday, March 15th at the Celebration of Excellence in Teaching from 10 to 1:30 at the Hyatt Regency McCormick in Chicago. Now, the award selection committee is comprised of Chicago area educators, and two committee members will observe each of the 30 finalists in the classrooms. A little scary, right?
That's not easy.
And interview their principals and selected colleagues and parents and students. So this is a very thorough process. The 10 Golden Apple Award winners will be announced in mid-April, and the winners will be honored at an awards ceremony on September 6th at the Hyatt Regency Chicago, which will subsequently be aired as a one-hour primetime special on WTTW. So if you win, you'll not only be radio stars, but TV stars.
But also, I also know that in the Chicago Sun-Times and the Tribune, the 10 finalists, it's always a big article. I mean, this the Golden Apple Award is a very prestigious award in Chicago. It's incredible. And I've known a couple of the winners, and they're so humbled by it. And even to be a finalist, to be part of the last 30 or 31 out of 850 starting, I mean, you're down to a very select group. I mean, all 850 are probably outstanding teachers. I would not want to be a judge on this one.
And these three young women are the only Chicago Catholic school teachers who are in that final 31. So we're very, very proud of you. You were telling us earlier about the experience of living together in ICTC, the Inner City Teaching Corps. Tell us a little bit more about that. What was it like? I mean, I would imagine you hadn't lived in community prior to that.
Absolutely not for me. I don't know about you two, but basically you live in live with about seven other people, I would say, in the course of your 2 years, your 2 year commitment for ICTC. And in my experience, I didn't know any of the other people who I lived with. And now you're trying to not only teach as a first and second year teacher, which is, you know, very difficult some days, but you're trying to live with these people, keep a house with these people, eat, clean, lots of different components. In my experience, I was very, very blessed and fortunate. We grew very close in times of triumph and in times of just, you know, failure, and we're all still very close, and it's been 10 years. We still meet each other once a month, and we just have, one of us is getting married in a couple of weeks, so we'll all be there for that. And but beyond the house, and this is just even a good example with Kate and Heather here, we didn't live together, and we were actually very spread apart in the years that we graduated from ICTC, but we still know each other, and I'm just so excited and proud to be part of right. this with them.
I'm also assuming there are men involved as
sure.
well?
yes.
Okay. And they also were part of the community, so it was a co-ed community?
Yes.
Heather, I know that the life of the community was guided by four pillars. Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, ICTC has the four pillars. Teaching a service is the first. Oh, I guess they don't have numbers, but teaching a service, spirituality, faith-based community, and simple living.
Those are the four pillars of the Inner City Teaching Corps.
Yes.
Say those four again.
Teaching a service, spirituality, faith-based community, and simple living.
So in making the commitment to enter ICTC, you really were embracing your faith in a whole new way, weren't you?
Definitely.
And I mean, the spiritual bonds and community are just so strong. I mean, it's pretty unbelievable, like how Vern was saying, you know, when you are first meet these people, you don't know them, but then by the end of 2 years, it's like you almost have a familial relationship with them, and a lot of that comes through, as she was saying, just sort of this journey through teaching and just this really needing, you know, and depending on one another to sort of help you get through that, into just something as simple as being a friend, you know, in times of need, but also sort of helping each other and just sort of becoming adults with one another. And, you know, my roommates, we all still, you know, I graduated from the program in 2006, and all of us are still living together. So, I mean, it's just, it's just pretty an amazing experience, but it's definitely what sort of helps you, you know, sort of like find out who you're becoming. You know, you sort of are able to do that along
maybe
with
just
other
people. Ask this question. Here you are, the three of you, Golden Apple Award finalists, which means you are being recognized even on this level, which means it has, for all of you, it's got to be a tremendous feeling of affirmation and support because of your colleagues, your superiors, even the students who have gotten to this point. The day you started teaching your first time in the classroom, just like the day I became what was ordained a priest of the Archdiocese of Chicago, in many ways, you always, like with priesthood, you think you know what you're getting yourself into. Like the day two people marry. Oh, I know what marriage is all about. I can honestly say that I did not have a clue what I was getting myself into. It's never been more richer in a way. Thank God for the gift of priesthood. So with teaching, what has surprised you the most about teaching? Because you can walk in and say, well, I think teaching will be this, 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 and this. and all of a sudden, life is never that simple. What have you found in the classroom from your experience as teachers to be the most surprising, either positive or negative so far, because life is not just, you know, all joy? Who would like to give that a shot? What has surprised you the most about teaching?
For me, it was all of the little unexpected things that continuously happen from year one to year 10. So, for instance, you know, you're trained and you talk about, okay, pacing and standards-based learning and how to create a lesson plan. So my vision was I was going to go in there and here's my lesson plan and I've prepped all the materials and now I'm going to teach. But it's all of the little things like, you know, the pencil sharpener problem and this student's mad because his brother stole his shoes in the morning before he got to work, to school. You know, this child is feeling very sick today but has to stay at school because they can't go home. And in all of those little unexpected things, how do you still provide students with an excellent education? How do you say, okay, we have to shelve that because we're here to do a job?
In many ways, Veronica, things that happen in the classroom that you cannot learn in the college classroom, exactly. Just like there are things with a faith community in a parish, the seminary cannot teach you. You know, mm-hmm. Some of the day in and day out. One of the best lines I've ever heard was, life is what happened while I was making other plans.
Mm-hmm. You know? And I think just most importantly is taking those things and not using them as an excuse for why you cannot provide your students with an excellent education. Walking away, and yes, I may be disillusioned at the end of this day, but you know what? Tomorrow I got to get up because my kids deserve the best education I can provide for them. And that can be hard sometimes.
Yeah. Kate?
I think that, you know, for me, a lot of it was, you know, sort of on that same mentality, you know, you're sort of prepared, you're well prepared for the teaching aspect. You know, you're taught how to lesson plan, you're taught how to, you know, grade or assess and that sort of thing. But what you really end up doing, you know, being a teacher is kind of like 10 jobs all wrapped into one. It's like you're a counselor, you're a friend, you're a support system, you're a colleague, you know, you're sort of someone that the parents can rely upon, you know, you're a communicator, and you're a sort of a motivational speaker. You're so many different things that, you know, and I was, not that I was surprised by it, but I didn't realize how much I would embrace those other roles that were tied into the job.
Interesting. Heather?
I am surprised every day when I walk in. You know, I have a plan. You know, it's on paper. It's in my head. I walk in, and half the time, it's adjusted. More than half. Every day, it's adjusted. What I've learned, so much comes from the kids. I look at something in one way, and once we get started talking about it, they point out something completely different that I never even saw. And I think half the time, they might actually be smarter than I am. But that continual learning and seeing their point of view has greatly enriched what I do.
It's fantastic.
I know that over the past 10 years, hundreds of teachers have been recruited for our Catholic schools through ICTC. So if parents are wondering about the quality of education, just listen to these three young women, and you know the kind of quality teachers we have teaching your children. Veronica, you mentioned earlier that you came, you stayed at St. Francis, St. Benedict the African School for 5 years, left, and then came back.
I did.
What did you miss?
What did I miss? Wow. So much. Well, first of all, just being in the classroom. For those 2 years, I was professionally developing first and second year teachers, and I was learning so much in that, and I was watching all of these new teachers implement all of these new strategies that I had really never learned because I had, you know, been in the program 5 years prior to that, and I just really wanted to get back in there and do what I was teaching other people to do, and then just kind of be humbled by that, because it's so much easier to say these are the things that need to be happening and then to actually go in and implement them. It's hard. It's hard work, and I felt that I needed to be reminded of that.
The thing is, now we talked about, as a teacher, what has surprised you since the day you started, and you said, Heather, every day is a surprise. But what have the children taught you? I mean, you are in a classroom, and I am the teacher, or I can say I'm a priest. But one thing I've learned, and it's very humbling, what people have taught me. I remember some years ago, I spent 5 years, different parts of spring, in Appalachia, Cranks Creek, Kentucky, the poorest county in the United States. 1 week with some of our young people and parishioners at St. Mary of the Woods. And so I thought the first couple of years I'm going to be going down there, and all that I'll be teaching and giving the people of Cranks Creek. Every year, from the first year through my fifth year, I left humbled by what the poorest people or some of the poorest people in the United States taught me about simplicity, humility, you know, being joy-filled despite profound poverty. And so all that I was going to be bringing to the people, but I left having learned more from them than whatever I gave to the people. How about you? What have the children taught you?
They've taught me flexibility, and I have learned so many ways to make people laugh in the classroom. The
kids, that's a gift.
The kids just bring humor to what we're doing, and it's a joy because I'm not expecting it. And so I love being surprised in that way.
That's wonderful.
I think that I love working with my kids because they are so filled with spirit and life and energy. I mean, it's just amazing. I don't know what other kind of job you could possibly have where, you know, you walk into a room and you just have all of these like bright-eyed faces just waiting to like start the day and just being excited about everything. I mean, you just hear of so many people that go to work and they're not motivated, they're not inspired by their coworkers. And my children are such an inspiration to me. They are just so wanting to learn and wanting to do things. It's like they break every stereotype of, you know, that anyone might have of that, you know, kids in the inner city, you know, don't are you know, sort of turned off by school or don't want to learn. I've had the complete opposite experience. Like these kids are just, they're just a joy to teach, you know, and they've taught me a lot about overcoming challenge because, you know, as a first year teacher, a second year teacher, you know, you think you have the hardest job possible. You're like, how can I get out of bed and get up and face this? But then you think, you know, some of these kids are facing in one day more pain and suffering than you might even have in your whole lifetime, but they're still there and they're ready, you know, and so they've taught me, you know, that, you know, I sort of got a lot of my motivation to you know, succeed from them.
That is great. Veronica?
I have two right off the top of my head. One, patience. I never knew I had so much in me until I started teaching, particularly middle school students, even though I love them.
Yes, sixth, seventh, and eighth grade for all of you. That's a challenging age group.
Yes, my kids know it's called a teacher timeout. Sometimes I have to take one, but that's my patience coming through. And then other than that, I really like what Kate was talking about in terms of perseverance, and then even the piece about what the media portrays of students in the inner city, particularly in Englewood. And I just have found the complete opposite also. My students are, and their families, and the administration, and the teachers are just so committed and, you know, determined to get these kids a good education. And I just find that very, very powerful, and I'm proud to be part of it.
Well, if our listeners were looking for a way of beginning the week with some inspiration, they found it here. We're going to go to a break now, but we're going to come back shortly and continue this conversation with these three very inspiring young women. You're listening to the Catholic Community of Faith and Relevant Radio. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Celebrate senior life and spirit. Catholic Charities invites seniors of all faiths to come together in celebration of their golden years. I'm Father Mike Bolan, inviting you to join Bishop Kane and myself for Catholic Charities' annual Senior Unity Mass. It'll be held 10 a.m. Thursday, May 1st at Holy Name Cathedral at State and Superior Streets. For more information, please call 312-655-7010 or visit our website at catholiccharities.net. Help Catholic Charities celebrate senior life and spirit.
We asked people all over America, what have you done for your marriage today?
It's a good question.
I gave a huge hug this morning.
We've actually organized a date night tonight.
I took the baby while she worked.
I sent my husband a love email.
I have carried my wife's purse.
I shopped.
We talked.
I made my wife laugh. She's still laughing.
What have you done for your marriage today? Do something a little special. Get started at foryourmarriage.org. A message from the Catholic Communication Campaign.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 a.m. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome back, Chicago. This is the Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950. I'm Graziano Marcheschi, co-hosting with Father Greg Sackowitz. If you're looking for a shot of inspiration, you're in the right place. If you're looking for a new job because yours is dragging you down, listen to these three young women and listen to the joy that they experience, not just that they bring, but that they get, that they find in the work that they do teaching the young children of the Archdiocese of Chicago. You know, as I've sat here listening to the three of you, I'm just really struck by the whole notion of vocation. Each of you was recruited in some way to a volunteer program, ICTC, the Inner City Teaching Corps. But each of you has stayed. And it seems to me that what you're doing is you're living out a call. It may not be for the rest of your life, but it seems that right now, all of what you've been saying, you're really using the language of vocation. It's part of your faith. You're living out your faith through the work that you're doing. And you're doing tremendous amount of good. Does that resonate with you? Would you use vocation in terms of the work that you're doing?
I do. I think when I heard the recruiter come speak it at my college, I was listening and I thought, wow, you know, I'm going to say it sounds cheesy. I feel called to apply. So I did, not thinking that I was going to get chosen for Inner City Teaching Corps. But then I told myself and everyone that would listen to me, you know, that if I was chosen, then that means that someone saw something in me that maybe I didn't see myself and that I would go. And I got the phone call and I was like, oh man, I'm going to Chicago.
And Heather, here's the thing, when you mention the word call, that is a gift from God. And one thing about a call is we need to listen. And one of the prayers I do every day is, Lord, what do you ask of me? And give me the courage to do it. See, the first part of that is easy. What do you ask of me? But then give me the courage to do it. And it can be scary, and to be scared? Courage means being scared and going ahead and doing it. That sense of the call, Veronica or Kate?
Yeah, just for me, it's absolutely a vocation, and there's a couple of ways I know that. One is I had heard this speaker talk about the idea of your work, doing your work to the point where you feel spent. And absolutely. There's not one day I get into the car and I'm like, woohoo, like I have tons of energy now. I want to go and like, I don't know what. But every day I get into that car and I am just exhausted. But the second part is just this piece that I did something today. Like there's never a question in my mind, did I actually do something today to maybe make this world a different, better kind of place?
That's marvelous.
It's a great
feeling.
Well, the other day I was actually sort of overheard a conversation between someone from the Big Shoulders organization and my principal, and he was saying, you know, oh, this is so wonderful. St. Malachy School is so blessed. You have so many, you know, ICTC teachers that have come to the schools. And she said, well, you know, they come because they want to do service, but they stay because of the kids and because of the relationships. And I think that for me that's 100% true. I mean, you know, you can be called to service in a number of different ways, but what makes me want to come back every single day is because of the children and their parents, their families, the whole community has just really embraced me, and it's just a fabulous place.
So really, as I listen to all three of you, this is not a job. This is truly a vocation in a sense of giving back. Now, the three of you are outstanding teachers in the Archdiocese of Chicago, but you don't do this alone. I know you've gotten great support from your principals. So maybe say how it connects with you teaching with your principal.
Well, St. Malachy School is a great place to learn. It's a really effective school. Like I said, just filled with a lot of positive spirit and energy. And I think that a lot of that comes from our tremendous teachers and support staff. But a lot of that really just rests on the shoulders of our two principals, Ms. Bridget Miller and Sister Jane Daly, both of whom have worked in Catholic schools for decades, and just are two of the most inspiring people you'd ever want to meet. You know, they just do everything that they possibly can to improve the school, to bring money into the school, bring energy into the school, programming. I mean, these women are just phenomenal. And I think that a lot of, you know, the things that I've been able to do has been because they've supported me and encouraged me all along. And so I just think that they just, you know, deserve all the recognition that we can give. So
that is great. Veronica?
Yeah, so my principal's name is Miss Patricia Murphy, and she is absolutely outstanding, has in the past 10 years been such an inspiration for me, just like Kate's principal. She has also been in the school for decades and knows all of the families, knows all of the students, and has seen so many teachers come in and out of her school, but continues to be just this constant of
this pillar,
exactly, of what we have to get done for our students, and never says no to me. That is one thing I thank her so much for. I will come to her with the most out of their idea, and she will say okay if she thinks it's going to benefit her students, and I have tremendous respect for her.
And Heather, what about over at St. Gall, the principal?
When I started St. Gall, it was Sister Erica Jordan who was the principal, and she was one of the main reasons that I chose that placement. That was my second year of service, and they didn't need me at my first school for my second year, so I had a choice of St. Gall or another Catholic school, and I saw the community that she had created at that school, and I wanted to be a part of it. She was an amazing support. Deb Rohde, who was there for a number of years, was an amazing support to me professionally and just as a person. Right now, Marilyn Barron is our principal at St. Gall. This is her first year there, and I think she's doing a fantastic job and really getting to know the community and keeping it a strong place to be.
Now, regarding the three, before we close here, like maybe a phone number or a web page to learn more about your particular school. So Heather, over at St. Gall.
www.stgallschool.com.
Once again.
www.stgallschool.com.
Kate?
And I'm representing St. Malachy School, the best school on the west side, at 2252 West Washington Boulevard. And I'd like to send big hellos to all my class.
That's terrific. And Veronica.
What about a website?
Phone number you don't know it offhand?
No, the phone number is 312-733-2252.
That number once again.
312-733-2252.
Veronica.
The Academy of St. Benedict, Laughlin Campus, is located at 6020 South Laughlin in the Englewood community. Our phone number is 773-776-3316.
That number once again.
773-776-3316.
You've been listening to Catholic Schools Today. We've had three finalists for the Archdiocese of Chicago for the Golden Apple Foundation Award. We have had with us today Kate Noonan, teacher at St. Malachy School in Chicago. We've had Veronica Royalis, teacher at the Academy of St. Benedict, the African School in Chicago. And Heather Kelsey, teacher at St. Gall School in Chicago. Three of the 31 finalists for the Golden Apple Award. Thank you very much for being with us here today on Catholic Schools Today. Our prayers are with you. Our number, 312-751-1979. Stay with us. We'll be back after a break, and time is 9:43 on this beautiful Monday morning in Chicago.
Michael Fosberg was raised as part of a typical white, middle-class family in Waukegan. When he was in his mid-30s, Fosberg met his biological father, who, much to his surprise, was African-American.
In the one sense, yes, I felt so much fear and confusion, but at the same point, I also felt so much joy and elation, because all my life I have felt connected to African-American people, African-American culture.
Fosberg has turned his unique experience into a critically acclaimed one-person play called Incognito. It deals with race, prejudice, and life's difficult choices. Here's Sister Anita Baird of the Archdiocesan Office for Racial Justice.
It's about the personal journey And I think the whole struggle as we try to build better race relations really is about the personal journey of every person and to see how we really are connected. And sometimes, even though we don't realize it, we're more connected than we are disconnected.
Experience Incognito on Friday evening, April 4th at the Holy Name Cathedral Auditorium. Order tickets by calling 312-751-8336. That's 312-751-8336.
You are slaying the dragon. You are going out there and taking on the biggest confrontation of your life. But it is all about who you are ultimately, and your identity is all wrapped up into that.
Do you know what's going on in your church around the corner or around the world? Do you want to hear stories about your faith? Do you want to help shape Catholic thought? If you said yes, subscribe to the Catholic New World, the newspaper for the people of the Archdiocese of Chicago. Call 312-655-7777 or visit us at catholicnewworld.com. The Catholic New World, a world beyond your church, a church beyond your world.
Good morning. Welcome back to Catholic Schools Today. I'm Father Greg Sackowitz along with Graziano Marcheschi on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Our phone number 312-751-1979 on this Monday morning, coming up on 946 now. And Graz, as we were saying during the break, listening to Veronica and Kate and Heather, what a shot in the arm in terms of the enthusiasm, that sense of service and joy. You know, they don't have to be doing what they're doing, and they choose to be teaching our children in the Archdiocese of Chicago. And I just talk about on a Monday morning being inspired.
I feel so privileged being able to do it. They feel like they're getting so much back. I mean, if anyone's worrying about the future of Catholic schools, as long as we keep getting young women like that, I think we're going to be just fine.
Exactly. So I want to say thank you again to them. Now we're going to move on to a very interesting segment. It's called Civil War Living History Day, to be presented at St. Dorothy School in Chicago tomorrow, Tuesday. And I got to read this. What is it? A day focused on the American Civil War from 1861 to 1865, with St. Dorothy School children meeting and speaking with prominent 19th century leaders, ex-slaves, speakers, and soldiers of the time. It will be a day of living history, where history will come alive as children meet and experience the legendary people about whom their books only talk. Our guests will offer brief presentations, then interact with questions and discussion from our youth. There'll be an actual musket firing demonstration outdoors. Thank God it's not indoors. And who's going to be present? Dressed in costume and speaking in period on Tuesday, March 11th, will be members of the U.S. Colored Troops, the Buffalo Soldiers, President and Mrs. Abraham Lincoln, Harriet Tubman, Frederick Douglass, General, and Mrs. George Thomas, Union General, Union Soldiers, Confederate Chaplain, Father James Sharon, and James O'Neill with Civil War artifacts. All are welcome, and on phone we have Father Bob Miller, pastor of St. Dorothy Parish in Chicago. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Greg. Good morning, Graham.
Good morning, Bob. You know, Mr. History himself.
Yeah, Father Bob Miller is one of the great priests of the Archdiocese of Chicago, serving so well. We've been together on a few committees. And Bob, was this your idea for this Civil War Living History Day? Is this your principle? When did this begin?
It was. I have been a long, long fan of history for about 20-some-odd years, and Civil War has been a passion of mine for years, and I've been president of the Chicago Civil War Roundtable, and I won't go into all my history on it.
But, Hold on. You are presently the president?
I was president about two years ago of the Civil War Roundtable of Chicago, and been long interested in the Civil War, just wrote a book on Civil War religion. So I've long had a passion of bringing this whole area to our young people, and particularly in our schools. You know, we don't have to talk much about knowing how our kids today are not necessarily as up on history as they could be. You know, if you watch Jay Leno, you see the jokes they often make on kids not knowing history.
Right.
So this was a tremendous concept. We did it once when I was at Holy Angels, where you have literally living historians come to the school and interact with the kids. And So I think I'm really looking forward to this day tomorrow. It should be a fascinating, exciting day.
Well, how did you get President Lincoln to agree to come back? I imagine the security is going to be very tight around the school.
Well, thank God, Lincoln's an old friend of mine. And he and his beautiful wife have agreed to come to us, and I might add that they are professionals at this. This is not a part-time thing. They do this full-time.
Okay, so this is not kids dressing up.
Oh, no. These are adults. These are all most of them are professionals in their field. Abraham Lincoln and his wife are professionals. They do this professionally around the United States of America. Harriet Tubman is a professional. She does this. Frederick Douglass. The rest of them are volunteers who come in their spare time.
So these are people that you know from your Civil War roundtable group. I mean, these are people that, with your background.
Yeah.
See, I thought these were actually, let's say, children dressing up.
No, these are adults, and they are the role. They are not just playing it. They are the role. These people are experts. I mean, when you talk to Lincoln, Lincoln knows everything about Lincoln you ever wanted to know. The man who's George Thomas, he is George Thomas. He will talk as if he is George Thomas tomorrow.
Let me ask you this, Father Bob, and that is during the Civil War, ironically, when I was a boy, I had two loves, and one was Civil War, and secondly was World War II. And I didn't follow up like you in terms of writing or joining some type of club, but I was always fascinated by the Civil War. But I never realized, were there many chaplains both for the Confederate and for the Union in the United States? You know, you think about, chaplains you have in World War I and II and our
war. Oh, yeah.
Father Manfully's going to Iraq.
The chaplaincy actually began in America back in the Revolutionary War and War of 1812. And Civil War is when the United States officially began to confirm chaplains. There was never enough chaplains on both sides, but there were chaplains. In fact, there were some 73 Catholic priests, Greg, who served in some capacity during the Civil War. Only three or four were literally full-time, because most of them, the Catholic Church was growing rapidly, and bishops couldn't let them get away for that long. But it was a marvelous part of our history. And in fact, I wrote one whole chapter in my book on Catholic chaplains and another one on just chaplains in general. So it's because Civil War is such a foundational event in our country's history, and still is the most deadly conflict ever. All the other wars of America, all the dead together, do not equal Civil War.
How many died in the Civil War?
Close to... my goodness, the number is escaping me right now.
But I know it was more than all the other wars combined.
Oh, yes, all the other wars together. And my mind is spacing this early in the morning, Greg. I haven't had my
coffee yet.
But this kind of event was so crucial. This is something we wanted our kids to learn and to experience, not just read about in the books, but to really have a chance to meet these people and talk with them face-to-face.
Gratz, before we go into a question, our engineer Michael May is saying you got to go to a break. So here on Relevant Radio, 950 AM, Father Greg Sackwitz along with Graziano McKeskey, along with Father Bob Miller, pastor at St. Dorothy, here on Relevant Radio, 950. We'll be back after a break, and do not touch that dial.
This August, pilgrims from Chicago will travel to Lourdes, France, to mark the 150th anniversary of the apparitions of the Blessed Virgin Mary to Saint Bernadette. The group will be led by Cardinal Francis George.
It's a place of hope, it really is. But it's all oriented towards the sick. If you're sick, you are the king of that place. Everybody's there who's in good health merely to serve the sick. And that's what the Blessed Mother is about. She appeared to a very poor girl, and she said, here's a place of healing. And that's what it's been ever since.
Join the pilgrimage to Lourdes. Call 312-751-2010. That's 312-751-2010. Call now and be part of this unforgettable spiritual journey.
Whether they are young or old, hungry or addicted, homeless or friendless, Catholic Charities walks with its clients, bringing them help and hope. For 90 years, Catholic Charities has empowered families and individuals of all races and religious backgrounds in communities throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. Help Catholic Charities fulfill its mission to serve the poor and underprivileged. If you can help, visit our website at catholiccharities.net or mail a donation to Catholic Charities, 721 North LaSalle Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. Thank you.
Welcome back to the Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio. I'm Graziano Marcheschi, co-hosting with Father Greg Sackowitz. And we have on the radio this morning Father Bob Miller, the pastor of St. Dorothy, and a Civil War officiando. Bob, you're doing a living history of the Civil War at the parish on March 11th, which is tomorrow. And it strikes me that in a lot of ways that war is still living because we still feel the effects of it, don't we?
Very much. It was a pivotal war that affected our country in so many, many ways. And it's ironic, of course, that one of the most argued and discussed aspects of the war, in other words, what was it fought for, that question would still be debated today. If you go to certain areas of the South, they would still claim it was a war about some other values aside from the issue of slavery.
Yeah.
And those basic issues of race are still around today. Just in terms of the military technology, it was revolutionary. So on a lot of different levels, the effects of the war are still with us. In many ways, it took a second civil war. In other words, the Civil Rights Acts of the 1960s to really win the rights that even though slavery was abolished after the war, the rights that were connected to it weren't really fully freed until the 1960s. So the effects are still with us, and as our young people grow up in this very media-dominated world, they tend not to appreciate the history of how we got this country and the rights and the freedoms that we have. They're just names.
You mentioned a really stunning fact a moment ago that the fatalities in all the wars we've fought combined don't add up to the fatalities in the Civil War. And, of course, that's true because it was Americans dying on both sides. I heard recently that there were several attempts on the life of President Lincoln besides the one that actually succeeded in taking his life. Do you know anything about that?
I can't say as I do directly. That I've not heard of too many. There were certainly plots for it. But nothing as serious as the last one, which really was the John Wilkes Booth plot was a fairly quickly conceived one. It came up quickly toward the end of the war when they found out he would go to Ford's Theater. But Lincoln's presidency was very different than today's presidents because he still received visitors off the street in the office.
Really?
If you waited outside his office, you could get in to see him. And one of his frequent complaints was that his hand swelled up so much. In fact, that was one of the comments that some of the signatures and some of the major documents he signed, the signature was a little wobbly because his hand was swollen from shaking too many hands. So it was a very different world, a very different presidency, and his life really captured a lot of the ambiguity. I mean, his wife, Mary, had relatives who actually fought on the Confederacy and were killed during the war. So he himself was religiously a very interesting figure. Not a quote-unquote religious man in terms of attending church, but very faith-filled.
You know, and Bob, we just have a few seconds here. What do you hope is the goal of tomorrow for the children of St. Dorothy?
We want to educate our kids better on the role and the value and the importance of the Civil War figures. We hope that this kind of thing will really enhance what we're trying to do at St. Dorothy's. We really are working hard on a strong arts curriculum. We have a strong art program, music and dance and creative ways we're trying to bring the education alive. And this fits in very much to what we're trying to do in a unique way at St. Dorothy.
And Bob, what about a phone number and a website for St. Dorothy?
Very easy. The phone number is 773-783-0555.
And the web?
The website I don't have in front of me at this exact moment.
That's okay.
But if you Google St. Dorothy's School in Chicago, we do have a website run by a marvelous nun, Sister Lou Cota.
It's stdorothy.net. We need to bring this program to a close. I want to thank in a very special way our guest, Father Bob Miller, pastor of St. Dorothy Parish in Chicago. Special thanks also to our co-host, Graziano Marcheschi, for another outstanding job.
And always good to be here with you, Greg.
Oh, great to be with you, Graz. And special thank you to our producer, Ryan Blackburn, along with co-producer Jasmine Kudos and our engineer Michael May. To all, God bless. Great week.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day and God bless you.